Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Rebus and Butthead podcast. In this episode, I am joined, as always, with my co-host, Hussein, and we are going to go through a full first-round mock draft where we make all 32 picks on what we would do if we were in the GM chair and we had to make these picks in the 2022 NFL draft. With all that being said, Hussein, he is taking over the odd picks. I will be covering the even picks. We will not be doing trades in this mock draft. Maybe we'll do a mock draft in the future with trades. But for now, for simplicity's sakes, we are doing no trades. Hussein, the Jaguars are on the clock. What are you doing?
And just so everyone knows, we're doing this mock draft live. So we have not done these picks beforehand. We're coming in totally blind. It's just going to see how it goes. You're going to hear us think out loud. It's going to be kind of cool. Number one, Jaguars on the clock. I don't buy the rumors just yet of Trayvon Walker. If he goes number one, pinch me draft night. I must be dreaming. Number one, Aiden Hutchinson. No brainer in my opinion.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I wouldn't buy it either, honestly. If I was in control of the first pick with the Jaguars, I would do the same thing. I don't buy it. It's a bunch of baloney, in my opinion. But that brings us to the Lions at number two. The Lions are now on the clock. And they could go in a lot of different directions, right? They could shock the world and go Kyle Hamilton.
You know, they could shock the world and go Malik Willis.
They can shock the world and go Malik Willis.
Imagine it's draft night here with the second overall pick the Lions select, and you just hear the word quarterback. Oh, my God.
It's going to cause a lot of just panic in the later rounds of the draft and later picks of all the teams that need quarterbacks. But I'm trying to look for him. I am going to go with the second pick, Trayvon Walker. Whenever I find him, I can't find him. No, I found
he's
him.
Pretty low on PFF's board. You got to scroll a little.
I had to scroll a little bit. I lost him for a little bit, but Trayvon Walker's the pick. I think they're going to take the roll of dice on the athleticism. Dan Campbell likes knee biters and I think he fits that attitude. So I think it makes sense.
Knee biter.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Okay. So, number two. Wait, now I have to find him. Okay. I didn't think that through. All right. Trayvon Walker. Number three, the Houston Texans. It's hilarious. You go to PFF on their draft board because they're using PFF. Their needs just as every position.
It's comical. It's absolutely comical.
It's hilarious. I'm going to buy into the whole every position thing. Take the best player who, you know, I think Joe thinks is in the draft and I think in the draft. I'm going to take Ekwonu here. I'm also going to make your decision at four very simple in that sense. But I take Ikem Ekwonu at three to the Texans.
Okay. I like that pick. You build the trenches big time when you're a team that literally needs every position. So I can get on board with that if I was Houston.
Tunsil and Ekwonu might end up being one of the better, if not best, tackle combo in football in 3 years.
Absolutely filthy. I mean, I'm pretty sure Tyus Howard, I don't remember his name, the other tackle. I don't know. He's the other tackle, but you have Ekwonu come in a guard and Tunsil leaves through free agency. Slam dunk pick. He can play year one, unlike on the Jets. I love it, love it, love it. Now this brings us to the number four pick. Like Hussein said, this was like a little soft toss when you're warming up in baseball. You could just smack it out of the park. I'm obviously going Kayvon Thibodeau here. Makes a lot of sense for the Jets. Robert Saleh is going to make him eat on the defensive line. It just makes a whole lot of sense. I love this pick.
Yeah, seems like a no-brainer. If this is the way the draft, you know, top three goes, which it very well could. I think, like, if I were to bet, I think this is how I would bet the top four to go based on, like, what we've heard. Now, obviously, we're doing this mock just not on, like, what we would do, but also, like, what we expect the teams to do.
Right. So it's a nice little balance of both.
It's a little combo. I think this is a very realistic top four. Bringing the Giants to the clock with their first of two picks. Now, remember, we're not trading, or Giants probably would have traded out of the slot or seven.
There are reports that the Giants want to trade out of five.
Yeah, and listen, if New Orleans comes a call in with 16 to 19 for a quarterback, don't see how you say no to that.
Yeah, you have to consider it. And especially if you know Carolina's going quarterback. But anyway, you're saying... What's the pick?
Yeah. I think it's a no-brainer. I think Giants fans will be happy to hear about this one. This is for you, Kyle. I'm taking Evan Neal, fifth overall.
Absolute alien of a tackle with the way he's built. Insane. The guy's, what, 6'6", 330, and he looks like I don't think I've ever seen a slimmer 330-pound man.
Their offensive line's a mess. Evan Neal and Andrew Thomas are good places to start, though. Really good places to start.
Build those trenches, something that Gettleman could never, ever do. Now, this brings us to the Panthers. On the clock, number 6. This is where it gets fun. I think this is very, very easy, especially since we're doing no trades. In a world where we can do trades, I would likely look also into trading down, depending on what I can recoup. Panthers don't really have any picks until I think the third or fourth round. So they need help, obviously, along with a quarterback. But it's very, very possible that they could trade down. But with all that being said, I'm going Malik Willis, the quarterback.
I was scared you weren't going to.
I'm going Malik Willis with quarterback. This makes a lot of sense. He would make that offense absolutely dynamic with him and DJ Moore and CMC. And it's also a nice little last attempt of a Hail Mary for Matt Rhule to stick around for the couple of years if it works out. So I went Malik Willis. Makes a lot of sense. Love the player. Love the potential.
This is the latest. I think the first quarterback will come off the board at 6.
Ballsy. That's very ballsy to say.
Right. I think 2, 3, or 5 are realistic trade down spots for a team to move up for a quarterback, 5 more than most, to jump Carolina at 6. Because listen, if they run out there next year running Sam Darnold, that everyone in that building is going to get fired. And they know it.
Well, everyone besides the owner and GM, I'm pretty sure.
I think the GM will get fired too. Trading for Sam Darnold, not bringing in any competition and letting him just take the starting job after the year he had in Carolina, which is worse than the years he's had with the Jets.
I thought the GM was fired, the one that traded him. Was he not fired? I thought he was.
Was it like Fitter or something?
Let me see. I thought it was Fitter.
It's Scott Fritter. Fitterer. He's been the GM since 2021, so I think he did trade for Darnold. So last year, his first move was trading for Darnold. He got hired January 14th, 2021.
Yes, I see that. Yes, you are correct.
So
yeah, move was trading for Sam Darnold. Oof.
I know 2 years isn't enough, but like if you trade for Sam Darnold, let him be statistically the worst quarterback in football and then don't bring in any competition, or the only competition you bring in is Baker Mayfield. Yeah, you should be fired.
And also you have absolutely zero draft capital to trade for Baker Mayfield. And it's been reported widely that the Browns don't want to just give him up just because they have Deshaun Watson. So you got to give something up, and you can't necessarily give the 6th pick for Baker Mayfield. The value just doesn't line up. But
no. So
anyway, getting back Malik on track. Willis.
First number quarterback 7. Off the board.
Number 7, Hussein. Let's roll.
I have been preaching this pick to you for the longest time. I think this is where they're going to go. And you started to turn on this. You know where I'm going.
Yeah.
Giants fans, you're very happy. You walked out of the first round with Evan Neal and Sauce Gardner at 7.
Be very excited. Your team got a very good makeover on the defensive backfield and the trenches on the offensive side of the ball.
I know they have some corners, but like Bradbury, they're looking to cut and move something with him. He also doesn't fit what the scheme that Wink Martindale runs. Adoree Jackson can't stay healthy. This is a scheme that's going to just do a lot of cover 1, cover 0 and have their corners just play man-to-man on the outside like they did in Baltimore. And they need corners for that.
Makes a lot of sense here. Now, this is where it gets a little tricky in the draft, because it's always the top 5, the top 6, the top 7 even is usually very easy. But now we're at number 8 with the Atlanta Falcons, and this team is truly hard to peg with what they're trying to do. They're obviously in rebuild mode. They got Marcus Mariota quarterback. They're trotting out a bunch of no names at receiver. They don't have a defense. They got a lot of holes. They need a lot, honestly. So this is tough. This is really tough. I could see them going Garrett Wilson, but the problem is he's a carbon copy of what Calvin Ridley is, and Calvin Ridley is going to be back after the year suspension. So
unless they trade him again next year, you know, you don't know that, right?
Unless they trade him, you are right about that. Jameson Williams also makes a lot of sense. They don't need him immediately. They're not looking to win, but Atlanta could also just be looking to get the best player available. And the best player available is a very clear Kyle Hamilton.
Wow. You're going so Kyle Hamilton.
I don't know yet. I don't know, okay. Zane.
Let me know before I put that little draft button.
Yeah, we're gonna have to, we'd have to pause the podcast and have you reset real quick if that was the case. You know what? I'm going Jameson Williams here. It just makes more sense.
Wow.
They want to set up their future quarterback, whoever it's going to be after. They'll probably target a quarterback in the 2023 NFL draft. And I think they're going to want to have their pass catchers set in place before they do that. So Jameson Williams makes a lot of sense here.
I'm interested by that. I will say one thing. If they can convince Ridley to stay, whoever walks in that quarterback room next year with Williams loaded. And Ridley.
Loaded. The only thing you have to be concerned about is that offensive line. That's it. But other than that, you've got all the weapons you need. Honestly, that offense would mirror a lot of what Carolina looked like on the offensive side of the ball this past year before they made all those offensive line additions. It's kind of similar, if you ask me. But this brings us to the number 9 pick with the Seattle Seahawks.
And now this is also a tough one because they have a lot of needs. What are they going to do, trot out Drew Lock after trading Russell Wilson? It's hard to sell that move to your fan base. Their offensive line is still bad. They still don't have an edge rusher besides Blitz Boy. They lost their number one corner, DJ Reed, to, you know, yours truly in free agency. There's a lot of different ways they can go here. So I think I'm going to something I've heard mocked a few times, and I think this is just get a player on the back end. I'm going Derek Stingley Jr.
I like it a lot, honestly. I could very well see this. We all know Seattle is not afraid to swing for the fences in the draft. And trust me, they've missed quite a bit, but I think this pick could be a definite home run.
If Stingley is healthy, I think this dude has the potential to be a top 3 corner in football before his rookie deal is up. That's what I think of him. I think very highly of Derek Stingley Jr.
Absolutely.
If he falls in the draft, I want us to trade back up and get him. If, you know, 4 and 10 is like KT and a wide receiver, trade back up to get Stingley if he's, you know, falls, you know, past 15.
Yeah, I mean, although I hate to burst your bubble, though, I don't think he's dropping past 15 in my case. I think that 10 to 15 spot is a sweet spot.
Yeah. I don't think he gets past Baltimore. I think Baltimore's a phenomenal fit for Derek Stingley.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
He plays what they need.
I'm 100% agreement. But with all that being said, this brings us to the number 10 pick. The Jets are back on the clock. Now, this is a big, big spot for a receiver, but just to go over the players that are potentially on the board, best player available, Kyle Hamilton's there. Jets don't really have the luxury. I'm not looking there. I'm not even thinking twice about potentially taking him. So I'm pigeonholing myself into receiver. There's two really, really good ones on the board. Drake London out of USC is one big target. Jets clearly need that. And then we also have Garrett Wilson, receiver, Ohio State, smooth, silky route runner. So I'm going to go Drake London here.
Wow.
And the reason for that is because he clearly lacks something the Jets offense does not have. And Elijah Moore is 5'8", right? Corey Davis, 5'9", is 6'2", is the only person with size. So I think the Jets are going to go with someone with more size. Zach Wilson loves throwing jump balls to Dax Mill when he was at BYU. So it just makes a lot of sense in this case. Drake London would be a great fit in this offense.
Yeah, it's kind of like, I think, you know, he threw an insane amount of like jump balls this year to guys who are not equipped to catch jump balls. Like, that's his game. I think Drake London would be a great fit. Corey Davis might play the smallest. He's 6'3", Corey Davis. He's the smallest 6'3" I've ever seen in my entire life.
Yeah, I don't think trust him going up and get the ball in the air.
He doesn't play like 6'3". That's
like,
shocking.
Like, you really want Corey Davis working the intermediate parts of the field. You don't want him going deep and catching back shoulders. And I think that's where Drake London would fit right into this offense. But after that being said, we're on the number 11 pick. Hussein, what are the Commanders doing?
This is a tough one. I mean, yes, their offensive line needs help. You know, one of their top PFF needs is linebacker, but I do not think they're going to go linebacker in the first round back-to-back years.
Good point.
Do they go quarterback? They traded for Carson Wentz. I get it. Do they go quarterback anyways?
I don't know.
Gave up 2/3 for Wentz, but like they were in his division for 4 years. They know exactly what he is. You think he's their only plan?
I don't think he's their only plan. It's tough though. It really is because I feel like after Malik Willis, there's a pretty steep drop off in quarterbacks, at least in terms of the kind of tier they are as a prospect. So I don't know if I'm sold on them going quarterback here.
This is
so tough.
This is one of the toughest picks in the draft, I think, especially when the board kind of broke this way for him. Like, everyone's like, oh, this is a quarterback hotspot before. And then they traded for Carson Wentz. So it's like, all right, could they still go quarterback? What else are there, like, major needs?
I mean, they could use someone opposite of Terry McLaurin.
Another receiver. Yeah, that's their actually a big receiver spot. You're right. Imagine the top three receivers drop by 11.
It's very possible, especially with the run on the receiver market we've seen in free agency. Not a lot of teams are going to want to pay the $25 million-plus contracts to these big free agents. So you're going to see a lot of teams shift to the draft.
You make a great point. And I think this is where Garrett Wilson didn't come off the board. They're doubling down to Ohio State receivers in Washington.
Are you submitting the card? Is this official for Garrett Wilson?
Card is submitted for Garrett Wilson.
Card is submitted. I like it. You have Ohio State squared on your perimeter. And
Ohio State squared.
I really like that. Great pick. Honestly, if the Jets didn't take Drake London, he would be a great spot there too.
I think Drake London is a little similar to Scary Terry, like the jump ball ability.
I'd have to disagree, honestly. Scary Terry is more of route runner, but
he does a lot of things better. Yeah.
Scary Terry, he's gotten more, believe it or not, one of his knocks coming out of Ohio State was that he couldn't do the jump balls. And he was so fixated on it. Once he got to the NFL, he was like, I'm going to get better at this. And he did. And I don't want to say elite, but he's definitely above average at it.
He's really good at it.
But moving on to number 12, we have the Minnesota Vikings.
You know what's crazy? I'm looking at this draft board, and there's still a lot of good players left.
Oh, absolutely. Definitely.
There's a lot of good players left.
This is also a little bit of a tough pick. Now, they brought back Patrick Peterson. I don't think, obviously, he's going to be a long-term play there. I think they're still going to look to add to that corner room. I really like Trent McDuffie here. I'm going to go Trent McDuffie here.
Interesting. The only other thing I was thinking for them is they have Danielle Hunter, who's opposite him. And also, Danielle Hunter could, leave at any given point in time with, their situation. And JJ's kind of still on the board.
Yeah, I was thinking about it, but I think they are a team that wants to build from the back end in. And because of that, I wanted to give them another corner for the future instead of just Patrick Peterson. And that was kind of my thinking. But this brings us to number 13, Hussein.
So you're locking in Trent McDuffie to 12.
Oh, I'm locked in. Card submitted already.
Okay. Number 13. I don't know if this will shock you. This is a no-brainer to me. I might even think twice about this. I'm taking Kyle Hamilton.
Okay.
I said it on our safety pod. He is a top three player in this draft for me. Houston, their need is everything. You walk out of this draft with two top three players,
You're doing pretty well.
You walk out of this draft with Iguanu and Kyle Hamilton, I would have thought you were picking 2 and 5 if you told me that back in January.
Yeah.
No brainer for me. Plus, they're a New England kind of style team with the GM, with the head coach. They play secondary in. Like you said, they play back in. They need secondary players. Kyle Hamilton's a damn good one.
I like it, Hussein. I think they want to build that huge baseline and bring in high ceiling, high floor players. And that's exactly what Kyle Hamilton is.
They added two day one starters who could push to make the Pro Bowl as a rookie in this first round.
Yeah. So this now brings up us to pick number 14. Now, in terms of Baltimore's case, the board didn't break great for them in terms of corner. There really isn't a corner on the board that's really worth even taking. So with that being said, I am going to stop Jermaine Johnson's slide right here.
Wow.
Baltimore is taking him out of Florida State. He does everything that you can think of that you'd want an edge to do. He can set the edge. He can rush. I think this is a slam dunk pick for Baltimore. Send the card in and don't even think twice if he drops this far.
I will say one thing about Jermaine Johnson is that Connor Rogers compared him to Matt Judon. Matt Judon. And it's like, okay, you know, fine. Go get his carbon copy then to replace Judon, who he lost last year.
Exactly. And that pass rush could use a lot more juice. That team is aging, and they need some youth in that front seven. They started with Owe, but I don't think they're not nearly done with that.
They're not done.
Not done at all.
Number 15, one of Philadelphia's two first-round picks on the clock. And this is a tough one because like they have a few needs, but they also pick again in three picks. So I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do, and then I'll explain why. This pick is Chris Olave. Now, okay. I know you could have potentially waited on receiver and gone Olave at 18, which may have been a lot better. But they clearly want one more target for Hurts to fully evaluate him. Three first-round picks used on a receiver in the last 4 years for Philly now.
Yeah.
Right? But absolutely. I think Olave with Devonta Smith probably gives you a ridiculous route-running combo. And here's who picks between Philly's next two picks. New Orleans, who could use a receiver. And the Chargers, who are also in the market for a receiver. There's a chance Olave would not have been on the board at 18. So, fine, you take three picks early, you get your guy. Because after Olave, I think the drop-off at receiver is huge, and it's not something Philadelphia can afford. Unless they want another Jalen Reagor on their hands.
You bring up a lot of great points, Hussein, and I think you honestly nailed it. They can't afford to risk letting a receiver drop past after them and having him gone before their next pick at 18. So you got to pick who's going to be immediately taken if you don't. So I like that mindset. You lock down your receiver. Jalen Hurts gets some good targets. I like it. I like it a lot. Now this brings us up to number six, the 16th pick, New Orleans Saints on the clock. And I think they had a gift dropped right to them.
I was thinking the same thing.
An absolute gift.
I was hoping you would make this pick.
Because there is the best player available on the board, according to PFF, is Charles Cross out of Mississippi State. Fills an obvious black hole at tackle after Teron Armstead left. I think if I was the Saints, I make this pick within a good 5 to 10 seconds and send the card in. No brainer.
Run. You just run. No brainer. It's like, do you remember that video of the Vikings just cracking up after the Eagles took Rager and they got Justin Jefferson fell into their lap, so like run this in now? This is the same scenario. Cross falling into the lap, running.
Absolutely. Love this pick. It fills a huge, gigantic need, and it's the best player available on the board. When do you ever run into that situation? Honestly, it's rare, but when it happens, the stars align, and I love it here.
Honestly, some people were thinking they could use 16 and 19 to trade up into top five for a tackle to replace Teron Armstead. That's also one of their possible things.
Absolutely.
So we're now on the clock at 17 with the Los Angeles Chargers. And man, this team does not have a lot of needs. They traded for Khalil Mack. They signed JC Jackson. They brought back Mike Williams. They signed Corey Linsley last summer to beef up their offensive line. They drafted Rashawn Slater to further beef up their offensive line, but they still miss the playoffs. They're still, you know, missing stuff. And I know like they want a receiver to replace Keenan Allen because he's getting old. Mike Williams is a little injury prone. Just don't think a receiver here is worth it for them at 17. So this is probably one of the tougher picks in the draft. I'm going to have them actually further beef up their offensive line because with Trevor Penning. He's a violent guy I want to end this whole Trevor Penning at 10 conversation. I saw that was a rumor. Please stop it. You're going to make me really sad if I hear that one more time. I think like the middle to later first round is a good spot for him. Obviously, the board didn't break well for Los Angeles. I honestly thought this was the spot for Chris Olave if I didn't take him at 15. So I think they beef up their line a little more, protect Herbert. Their weapons are clearly enough. Like Keenan Allen, Mike Williams, and Austin Eckler can get done. Go target a receiver later in the draft. I don't think corner is a need considering you just gave JC Jackson one of the biggest deals ever. So with all that being said, Trevor Penning is the pick for the Los Angeles Chargers to beef up their offensive line a little more at 17. Joe, you're back on the clock with the Eagles' second pick of the first round at 18.
Oh, yes, I am back on the clock, better than ever. This is a bit of a toughie. It's a bit of a toughie, in my opinion. And the reason because is that the Eagles, I mean, I can make this really easy. But I know the Eagles are not going to take this position because linebacker staring me dead in the eyes.
I don't think it's hard. I think this is a linebacker.
I don't think so. You do realize the Eagles have never drafted a linebacker in the first round. Never.
And I think that has to change because it's their biggest need.
I'm not sold. I don't think they're going to draft a linebacker. I really don't. It's so tough. Like, where else can they go, really? Like, do they want to go Devontae Wyatt? Javon Hargrave is getting old. Fletcher Cox is getting old. I don't think they're on contract much longer.
They don't have any linebackers on their roster.
They don't draft them. I don't care.
Wow.
We're doing both of what we think they should do and what they will do. I can tell you the Eagles do not draft linebackers. Now, if they want to do it for the first time ever in their team history, that's fine.
And the Eagles got the linebacker in the first round on the draft, you owe me. I'm going to give you the biggest, I told you so.
Hey, you can do that. That's fine. But I have history on my side. I'm going with history. With that said, I am going Devontae Wyatt. Fletcher Cox is not getting any younger. Javon Hargrave is not under contract much longer after this year. So I think they're going to want to go young, beef up that interior defensive line, keep the pocket pushing in the NFC East. And I probably would have, if it was me in the GM chair, I wouldn't linebacker, probably Devin Lloyd. But given the Eagles' history, it's not going to be linebacker most likely. And if it is, good for them. They recognize their ways aren't working anymore. But Devontae Wyatt's my guy here, with that said.
Okay. So this is interesting at 19 with New Orleans. Because everyone's like, they made that trade to Philadelphia to get draft capital to move up for a quarterback. Well, now QB2 has fallen into their laps with, you know, the obvious quarterback needy Steelers right behind them. But if they really wanted a quarterback so bad, I think they would move up for one instead of staying put. Because they might also think that they were pretty good before Winston got hurt last year. They might think they're two players around Winston away from competing and then pushing for quarterback next year, but they don't have any first round picks next year. They don't.
Yeah, I kind of agree with that. Jameis Winston, everyone forgets he had 14 touchdowns compared to 3 interceptions last year before he got hurt. Yeah,
he was good, but he's on a 1-year deal. Like he's also not like you're not committed to him, and you don't have any first round picks next year. Now, obviously, there's all those rumors that like, oh, they traded next year's first because they're convinced Sean Payne will come back and someone will trade a first round pick for him. You know. But this is one of the tougher ones. Do we go quarterback or do we beef up and give Winston some weapons? They already took a tackle.
Yeah, this is a very tough situation. I feel like this is going to come down to what you feel in your heart is where the Saints are going to go.
I think on draft night, the Saints are going to package 16 and 19 and move up for a quarterback if it happens. If it doesn't happen, they're going to roll with Winston, and I think that's what I'm going to do here. At 19, I'm giving them a weapon. I'm giving them George Pickens.
Okay. You know, I was actually thinking Treylon Burks.
No,
I kind of like George Pickens.
From the South. I gotta
scroll and find him.
He fits. I filtered it by receiver.
Yeah, I think I might start filtering and doing that.
We're at a point where we got to start filtering. Yeah.
Yeah. So George Pickens going to the Saints. I think this is a great fit.
That's a good fit. That's a great fit. That's like if I'm taking a receiver, this is the guy that fits.
Yeah, I have to agree with that. But now we have the Steelers on the clock. They need a quarterback. I'm not buying the Mitch Trubisky belief.
The reclamation. It's one thing having Jameis Winston as a reclamation project. Mitch Trubisky is something else.
Right. So now it just really comes down to what quarterback. Now, I think I have a really good idea of where I'm going to go with this. The Steelers have Mitch Trubisky. They have someone who can, I'm not going to say he can play good football for the year, but he's not someone who
he's a body.
Has been known for getting hurt and rushing people in.
He's a body.
He is a body. So for that reason, I think the Steelers are gonna go going to go swinging for the fences. And
I think I know where you're going with this.
They're going Desmond Ridder.
Holy hell.
Out of Cincinnati. He's local. I don't think they love the Kenny Pickett prospect. I think they want to swing for the fences this time. I think they aren't stupid. I think they're in tune with what they're seeing around the NFL, where all of the elite veteran quarterbacks are loading up on teams with loaded rosters. And if you want to compete with that, you need to swing for the fences yourself. Desmond Ridder can ride the bench his rookie year under a quarterback who has been a high pick before and has been around the block before. So this makes a lot of sense to me.
This is a good pick. I agree with that one. Desmond Ridder, second quarterback off the board. Remember I told you guys that I thought, you know, at least three quarterbacks to go first round. You guys all called me crazy like back in January.
I don't think you said, I don't think you said three. I think you said closer to four or five.
I think not five. I think four. I do think four will come off come draft night when you start trading. I think four will come off in the first round.
Because I'm pretty sure the over under was set at like 4.5. And then you said
it was,
okay, 3.5.
I would take the over on 3.5. That's my bang advice for the day. When it comes, we're going to have three probably go in this first round without any trades.
You know, I think what we should do is we should release a quick podcast before the draft, just going over the quick prop bets and over under lines, just a little gambling episode. What do you think?
I got them all. Oh, that's a great idea.
We're going to slide that in for everybody, for all of our gambling degenerates out there. But this brings us to pick number 21, Hussein.
Something we should do is give a little recap of our top 20.
You know what? I like that idea. Hussein, since it was your idea, I think you should do the recap.
All right. Just because, you know, so our fans don't get lost in the sauce here. Jaguars took Aiden Hutchinson at 1. The Lions took Trayvon Walker at 2. Ekwonu went to the Texans at 3. The Jets took KT at 4. The Giants went Evan Neal at 5. The Panthers took Malik Willis at 6 for his quarterback off the board. The Giants took Sauce Gardner at 7. The Falcons, under shocker, took Jameson Williams at 8. Derek Stingley Jr. went 9 to the Seahawks. 10 was Drake London to the Jets. 11, Garrett Wilson to the Washington Commanders. 12, Trent McDuffie to the Vikings. 13, Kyle Hamilton to the Texans. 14, Jermaine Johnson to the Ravens. 15, Chris Olave to the Eagles. 16, Charles Cross to the Saints. 17, Trevor Penning to the Chargers. 18, Devontae Wyatt to the Eagles. 19, George Pickens to the Saints. And then 20, Desmond Ridder to the Steelers. That was a mouthful.
That's a lot. I think that's a pretty decent looking top 20 for the draft. I could see it very well going like this if there were no trades.
I think so. 21, the old rival. Oh, how I just want to filter by some special teamers and then draft the number one kicker on the board right now.
I heard they need a punter. Do they want the punter from Arizona State?
Oh, that guy from San Diego State's apparently crazy, man. That Matt Areza.
Yep.
I think he's a lock to go 21 here.
He's the punt god.
He's the punt god. I think he'd be a great pick at 21. A punter? Like, come on. It's genius.
It's absolute genius. Bill Belichick, absolute ahead of the game.
Ahead of the game. Just lock down your punter at 21. Okay. In all seriousness, this pick terrifies me. It makes me really sad because I really like this player, but I think it's a very clear and obvious fit. Devin Lloyd comes off the board at 21 to New England.
Huh. Okay.
They need linebackers. You saw what Dante Hightower was able to do there. Imagine just a faster version. Because Devin Lloyd is fast.
I absolutely see the fit with linebacker because you saw in the playoff game, their defense just got absolutely torched from Josh Allen. They had no chance.
They need a receiver here, but I mean, like five receivers came off the board before pick 21. Pick 21.
Right. And I don't see Bill Belichick getting desperate and going back to receiver. Although I will say I would hate it as a Jets fan, but if I were a Patriots GM, I would not hate taking Treylon Burks.
No, but also, this is your memo to Jets fans as to why you can't wait for receiver for 35 and 38. 5 already went off the board. I assume 2 to 3 more because we still have Green Bay and Kansas City picking four times in the rest of the first round coming up. This is why you can't wait for a receiver until 35, 38, because they'll all be gone. Oh, you love Jahan Dotson? Yeah, he might not be there. Like, this is kind of worst case in terms of receivers. If you're big on 30 receivers at 35, 38 for the Jets, bad idea.
Yeah, I would not be shocked whatsoever. Now, this brings us to pick number 22 from the Green Bay Packers. They have two first-round picks, so I got to be a little smart about who I'm going to choose. Now, just looking who picks before the Packers' second first-round pick, we got the Cardinals, the Cowboys, the Bills, the Titans, and the Buccaneers. Now, everyone knows it is no secret Green Bay needs a receiver. And I would say the Cowboys could use a receiver. The Bills could use a receiver. The Titans could use a receiver. So with that being said, I'm not going to wait. I'm not going to sit on my hands. I am going to look for a receiver right now. You can't risk letting other teams swoop up the prospects that you want. Now, Green Bay, you're saying, I don't know if you know this, but Green Bay definitely has a type when it comes to receiver.
Big.
They like big receivers who can block. And that screams Treylon Burks to me. So
yeah.
I'm gonna slam it down on the table. Treylon Burks going to the Green Bay Packers at pick number 22.
It's I love a gimme pick.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. That's
and plus what he does well, he does all the gadget plays well. And it takes a lot of pressure off of Aaron Rodgers.
And they ran a lot of gadget plays to Davante Adams. Don't forget, like, for every insane corner route he ran a little like those bubbles where you run back and forth three times before you catch a flat route and take a 2-yard flat route 20 yards. Treylon Burks did a lot of that at Arkansas. Davante Adams did a lot of that in Green Bay. I'm not saying he's Davante Adams, but I think Burks is a good fit there.
I 100% agree with what you said.
So we're up to 23. We're on the Arizona Cardinals. This team's a mess. Their entire offensive line is an issue. Their pass rush is an issue. Their cornerback room is an issue. Their quarterback is not talking to the team, so that's something to watch over the next week and a half.
Yeah, so apparently the Jets are one of the top landing spots for Kyler Murray. I don't know if you saw that.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I think we know more than CBS Sports at this point.
Yeah, like, I mean, come on.
So I think he's a top 10 player in the draft. This is where his slide ends. I don't even call it a slide, but Tyler Linderbaum.
Love this pick. I love this pick. This makes a lot of sense. And he fits their blocking scheme where he's more of a zone heavy kind of blocker. And the Cardinals are definitely a big zone blocking, zone run team. So this makes a lot of sense here. I love it. Now, this brings us to the 24th pick. And the Cowboys could use some offensive line. They could also use a receiver after Amari Cooper went bye-bye to the Browns. So in terms of receivers, nothing is really looking all that great on the board. There's Sky Moore, Jahan Dotson, Christian Watson, Alec Pierce. I like these players, but I don't love them at pick 24. You know, I think what the Cowboys will do if this was their board, I think they would definitely go offensive line.
I think they need offensive line.
This pick just makes too much sense, in my opinion. I'm going to go Kenyon Green. He's a big power blocker. He just works in their blocking scheme. And he also has positional versatility where he can kick out the tackle in pinches in case I'm blanking. The left tackle, Tyron Smith?
Tyron Smith.
Yeah, okay. So I thought I lost it, but they
lost Connor Williams too.
And they lost Connor Williams. So they need a guard. Kenyon Green plays on the left side. He can kick out the tackle if their tackle misses any time for any reason. So I think this is a slam dunk pick. Makes a lot of sense.
So we're now on to 25. Buffalo, I think their need for a receiver is overblown. They still have Stephon Diggs. Gabe Davis is ascending. They signed Jamison Crowder. They have Isaiah McKenzie. Dawson Knox really stepped into a role last year. So I'm going to make a pick that, once again, just like New England, a rival is getting a stud. That's terrifying me. You said it yourself. Buffalo has made a lot of picks along the defensive front since this new regime took over since Brandon Bean came in. And holy hell, the athletic freak of Jordan Davis is sitting on the board.
Yeah, he dropped this far. He honestly hasn't. He had no business dropping this far down.
Jordan Davis is 6'6", 340 pounds, ran a 4.78 40. He is 99th percentile in the broad jump, 98th percentile height, 95th percentile weight, 97th percentile 40-yard dash. This is a specimen if you ever met one. And he also, some people think, okay, maybe he's a little raw. All right, fine. You're playing on one of the better defenses in football. That their biggest problem last year for Buffalo's defense was probably stopping the run. And they just got a monster up the middle. Man, I hate it. Our division rivals are getting really good this draft. What am I doing? You know what? Wait, fine. Let me go look at that punter again.
Where is he? I can't. I don't see the punter filter. I don't see it. Where is it?
Jordan Davis locking the pick.
Now, this brings us to the number 26th pick. The Tennessee Titans are on the clock. They could use a receiver, although they did trade for Robert Woods. I like that fit. I don't think they're going to push receiver here. They also need interior offensive line big time. So it's so tough because I was honestly hoping I was going to see Trevor Penning drop this far because he fits their mentality in Tennessee perfectly. But I'm not screwed nonetheless. So I'm not going to overthink this. I'm going to pick Zion Johnson out of Boston College. He gives you center and guard versatility. And funny enough, that's their two biggest needs along the offensive line. So they can figure out where they're going to play him, where just so they can get the best five bodies out there blocking for Ryan Tannehill. This just makes a lot of sense. Don't overthink it.
Okay, so that brings us to 27, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So this team, they can go a lot of ways. Some people thought they were going to lose a lot of guys when Brady retired, and then Brady came back, and everyone came back with them. They have a need along the guard because Ali Marpet retired. They have a need along their offensive line, but let me tell you, Joe and I have just swooped up every interior offensive lineman possible.
not a lot of options left. I mean, even if we go to – if we go to the interior offensive line,
there's no one there.
There really is nobody. Your best options are Dylan Parham, Donovan West, Cole Strange, Luke Fortner, who, don't get me wrong, I like a lot of them, but they're not first round picks by any stretch. So it's got to be a different direction.
So I'm actually going to make a pick I really like here. A player who needs to sit will be afforded the time to sit while he recovers from his injury. David Ajabo.
I knew it. I knew you were going David Ajabo here. It makes a lot of sense.
They don't have anyone rushing outside of Shaq Barrett right now. I think they lost Jason Pierre-Paul. Ajabo, yeah, he'll have to sit. He'll have to recover. But he is the definition of a 3-4 outside linebacker. I think he's a great fit here. I also like to say how far Karloftis is falling, and I think it's absolutely warranted. Don't be surprised if you see it happen.
I wouldn't be surprised either.
27. David Ajabo.
Run it in. This brings us to the 28th pick. Green Bay Packers are back on the clock. Now, with their earlier first-round pick, I picked a receiver for them, Treylon Burks. So, obviously, that need is kind of off the board.
I don't know if it's off the board.
It is.
Because they have Sammy Watkins, Alan Lazard, and Treylon Burks.
I mean, even if you do look at the receivers, I don't love their fits. I mean, you can maybe argue for Christian Watson, but Watson is still raw in a lot of aspects. He still has to work on his hands. He still has to work on his, even though he's big, he's not the best at high pointing the ball. He struggled a little bit against the FBS competition. I don't think they're going in this direction. So the Packers, they are huge along the offensive line. I think they're going to take a developmental tackle who needs a year or two to sit and learn. So I'm going to go Bernard Raimann. He's probably going to go a little earlier than this just because of positional need and teams will reach for a tackle. But he's a great run blocker. He'll come in immediately and he's capable in that. But he needs some work in the pass protection world. But he's definitely afforded that opportunity in Green Bay, and I think this is where they're going to go.
Interesting. So this brings us to 29, the Kansas City Chiefs, who actually picked 29 and 30. They go have to go back to back. Now, obviously, everyone knows they need a receiver. They need one bad. But they pick back to back. And I think Joe, I'm very confident in the fact that Joe will take a receiver. And I want to do something that I think is a bit of an underblown need for Kansas City. They lost Tyrann Mathieu. Yes, they brought in Justin Reed. I think this is a great, great landing spot for Daxton Hill.
Okay. Okay.
Here's who I'm taking at 29.
I can understand. He's fast.
He's a playmaker.
And he could play corner a little bit too, which is also another need.
He could play slot corner. He could play everywhere for that team. He could play slot corner. He can play deep safety. He can play in the box. They signed Justin Reed, yes, but their secondary was a problem last year. And they have another pick right now to address receiver if they need to.
Absolutely. And now I am on the clock. Hussein kind of wedged me into a corner of receiver.
So. I didn't want to wedge you.
I don't like being forced into corners, but here I am in a corner. So I'm looking at receivers, and I see Sky Moore. I see Jahan Dotson. I don't really love Jahan Dotson's fit in Kansas City. There's Christian Watson. There's Alec Pierce. They're a little bit better fits in Kansas City. This is going to be a little tough, actually. It's very, very interesting. Because they can go in the direction where they need an X receiver who can beat press. That's Sky Moore. But they might want to replace Tyreek Hill with a big, tall burner in Christian Watson.
I think Jahan Dotson is also a great fit. He just wins, period.
This is tough. This is really tough. You know what? I'm going to go with the upside here. I'm going to swing for the fences, and I'm going to pick Christian Watson, the big and tall receiver who's fast. He's a burner. The Chiefs are going to miss a little bit of their deep threat, right? Because they brought in Juju Smith-Schuster, who's a fine player and all, but he likes to work over the intermediate part of the field more, and I think they're going to need someone who can take the top of the defense, and that's Christian Watson more than any other receiver in this class that's left.
So, moving on to 31, we have the Cincinnati Bengals. And I think this would have been a prime spot for, like, Zion Johnson if he lasted this far, but he didn't. No interior offensive lineman lasted this far. There's none of them worth taking here. There's no real offensive lineman worth taking here, period. But a need that can be addressed is the cornerback room. This team had Eli Apple just run his mouth and then get shown up in the Super Bowl. So I think corner is probably, once you get past offensive line, I'd say corner is their next big need. And I'm going to address that with a man coverage heavy Kyir Elam.
You know, I actually really like that fit. It makes a lot of sense.
Their cornerback room needs work, and I think this is a good start. Their offense is fine. They address their offensive line a lot in free agency. Now their defense has to get a lot better because they're not playing the same division as Deshaun Watson. Lamar Jackson is going to be healthy.
And they need to cover.
They need to cover.
Now,
their pass rush is great. Phenomenal. They have Sam Hubbard and Trey Hendrickson.
Who could have been a Jet, but
we're happy with Lawson. We don't talk about it.
Now this brings us to pick number 32. Detroit Lions are back on the clock. Now, a part of me really wants to see. There really weren't a whole lot of quarterbacks that went off the board.
I think this is it. This is the spot I've been eyeing the whole time for a quarterback.
So, in my mind, right, there's three quarterbacks that are really worthy of being talked about going in the spot, and that's Sam Howell, Matt Corral, and Kenny Pickett. Mm-hmm. In my mind, Kenny Pickett's a backup, so I'm not going to take him. So that brings us down to Sam Howell and Matt Corral. And this is a little bit of a tough one, in my opinion.
I don't think so. I'm also not the biggest fan of Sam Howell. But
I I think they're going to go with upside. I think you're right. I think they're going to go with Matt Corral in the end.
Matt Corral gets a lot more upside. Yeah.
Sam Howell does have some, he does have some appeal, to say the least, in terms of running ability, because he's a sneaky good athlete and he's very quick at running an RPO style offense. But I think if you want to go upside, Matt Corral is your guy. He's twitchy. He can get the ball out quickly, lightning fast release. So makes a lot of sense here. And Lions fans, you may not have to watch another season of Jared Goff. So rejoice, fans.
I'm glad that we both kind of aligned that I think this pick should be a quarterback just to get that extra year of control.
Absolutely. Because if he's a second round pick, you only get 4 contract years. And that's why I also was happy that you took David Ojabo in the first round, because a team's going to want that extra year to have him rehab that Achilles and have him under team control.
David Ojabo to Tampa Bay is probably my favorite pick that I made today. That or Kyle Hamilton to 13. Those are probably my 2 favorite picks.
I don't know what my favorite pick is, to be honest with you.
Also, Matt Corral's got some legs. He ran for 600 yards with 11 scores this year.
Yeah, absolutely. I think when it comes to upside, Matt Corral is your guy.
I like Matt Corral. I obviously watched a lot of him last year. I was like, who the hell is this guy throwing the ball to Elijah Moore? And then I'm like, wow, okay, he's not bad. So
I'm struggling. I'm trying to figure out what my favorite pick was.
You just take the cop out and say KT at 4.
No, I think it's going to be either like Jermaine Johnson to Baltimore, because that fit is just so good. Like
I have a pick.
It's like such a picture perfect fit for Baltimore and Jermaine Johnson. But
I have one pick in mind. I think that'd be my favorite if I were you.
I also really love Desmond Ridder to Pittsburgh. I think that makes so much sense if he drops that far. It's just the stars would align for Pittsburgh, especially if they could sit on their hands at pick 20 and just let him fall to them.
Yeah, and that's not going to happen draft night.
I also like Treylon Burks to Green Bay. Makes a lot of sense. But Hussein, if you had a pick for me, what would be the pick that would be your favorite?
Charles Cross, New Orleans.
I can see that. I mean, that was the easiest pick I made.
That was the easiest, but also the best. Like, best fit, biggest need, got a great player.
Yeah, absolutely. But anyway, just to recap the entire draft, since Hussein took it over midway, I will restart and run through the entire draft. At number 1, Jaguars took Aiden Hutchinson. At number 2, Lions took Trayvon Walker. Then the Texans took Ikem Ekwonu. At number 4, the Jets took Kayvon Thibodeau. At number 5, the New York Giants took Evan Neal. At 6, the Carolina Panthers took Malik Willis, the first QB off the board. At number 7, the Giants did not overthink it, and they took Sauce Gardner. At number 8, the Atlanta Falcons took Jameson Williams, a true X-factor in the receiver room. At number 9, the Seahawks took Derek Stingley, a true swing for the fences, a team that does it quite often in the draft.
Penny. I like that pick a lot, too.
At number 10, Jets took Drake London, getting some size in that wide receiver room. At number 11, the Commanders took Garrett Wilson. 12, the Vikings took Trent McDuffie. 13, the Texans took Kyle Hamilton. At number 14, the Ravens took Jermaine Johnson. 15, the Eagles took Chris Olave. At 16, the Saints took Charles Cross. 17, the Chargers got a little desperate and took Trevor Penning. 18, the Eagles took Devontae Wyatt. At number 19, the Saints took George Pickens. And 20, the Steelers took Desmond Ridder, the true successor to Roethlisberger. At number 21, the Patriots took Devin Lloyd. 22, the Packers took Treylon Burks. 23, the Cardinals took Tyler Linderbaum. At number 24, the Cowboys took Kenyon Green. 25, the Bills took Jordan Davis. 26, the Titans took Zion Johnson. 27, Buccaneers drafted David Ojabo. 28, the Packers drafted Bernard Raymond. 29, the Chiefs took Daxton Hill. 30, the Chiefs took Christian Watson. 31, the Bengals selected Kyir Elam. And 32, the Lions trusted Matt Corral to lead their franchise.
It's a mouthful, huh?
Oh, yeah. It took me a lot longer to get through than I thought it would. But that is the full kit and caboodle for what the 2022 mock draft would be or look like if we were in charge. Tell us what you think. Tell us if you disagree. Tell us if you are a fan of your team and you hate what we did.
I think this is the most perfect mock draft ever, and no one's going to disagree with this.
I don't know if you know Twitter. But I like what we did. Maybe there were some other routes we could have taken. It obviously, the whole trade element is something that needs to be considered that we didn't consider in this case. But given that, I think this draft turned out pretty realistic. Hussein, if you had to grade this draft on a A, B, C, D, F scale, what would you give this draft?
Are you just talking about my picks or just all of them?
You could both.
My picks, I'm giving that a flat A. No, just kidding. I think the first 10 picks were like pretty easy, and it got a lot tougher to find fits as we went later on. But I think this kind of really opened my eyes to see how like deeper this class is, and like people make it seem to be. Like, yes, there's no Chase Young, there's no Myles Garrett, there's no Jamar Chase, there's no top quarterback prospect, but this is a good draft. Like, when we finished, I'm like, wow, there are some guys on this board that I would take in the first round. Like, the Jets, like, you know, N'Kobe Dean fell out of the first round. Yep. I know we don't love him, but George Karloftis just fell out of the first round. Louis Cien fell out of the first round. Some good players fell out of the first. So this is a really, I think, strong draft class, and this is kind of eye-opening to that. I think overall, I'd give it a B minus. I felt like we got a little offensive line heavy. I know a lot of teams, especially in the second half, they need offensive line bad. But like, we hit a point where like, there's just no line left. Like, there's no lineman worth taking round two anymore.
Yeah. And honestly, I agree they'd get offensive line heavy, but I think that's just a testament to where the NFL is going in terms of a lot of the young teams that with young quarterbacks that have the entire offense set, like the Cardinals. Like the Cowboys, you still need to fill out that offensive line to protect their quarterback. So I think that's going to be a result of that. But I like where this draft went. A lot of the picks make sense to me. There's not really a pick on here that screams to me like this doesn't make sense, which it may not be realistic because there usually is one or two teams that just make a mind-boggling pick.
Clelin Ferrell DeFore.
Yeah, don't get me started on that.
I remember that one.
Oof, that was a tough one. But I really like how this board shook out. There are a lot of good players, like you said, in the second round. The Jets would be very, very happy at 35 and 38 if this is how the board broke. And you just have to hope N'Kobe Dean is still there, that my boy Jalen Petrie is still there.
Imagine
Dean is still there.
We could walk out of 30 in this scenario. We could walk out of the first 40 picks with KT, Drake London, N'Kobe Dean, and like Jalen Petrie.
Yeah,
that'd be electric.
And even if N'Kobe Dean isn't there, you still have a Chad Muma, who is very well in his right to go in the top of the second round as it is. So there's a lot of good options and a lot of good routes that could be taken from here. So as a Jets fan, I'm pretty happy with this draft haul. Thibodeau, huge need for Saleh, and Drake London, they need the size. It makes too much sense. It makes sense. That's all I have to say.
Kyle, if you're listening, I hope you liked what I did with the Giants picks.
Yeah, I would have done the same thing. It's a no-brainer. It goes back to the office when you just want to kiss. Just keep it simple, stupid.
I didn't know where you're going with kiss for a second.
I like to be a little mysterious at times. But with all that being said, ladies and gentlemen, we hope you enjoyed this episode where me and my co-host Hussein ran through the 2022 NFL draft, all 32 picks in the first round. Please like, comment, interact with us on our Twitter page at Revis_Butthead. And just let us know what you think of this mock draft. If you agree, disagree, if you would have done the same thing, let us know. You can fight with us. We don't care. We love the passion. We're all Jets fans. And that's really it. So we hope that we can get another round of a mock draft in before the draft. And we will see you then. Peace out, Jets fans.
Peace out, homies.